What's up, everyone? This is Fantasy Sports Today. Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you as always. And Chris, I think the thing on a lot of people's minds is fantasy football playoffs
in season-long formats. Unless you're out, you're just like, let me just forget about football altogether.
Yeah, but then if you're in a lower position, you have the opportunity to play spoiler and really ruin someone's fantasy football season. So make sure you set your lineups. Something that Chris Meaney over here already scolded me for because I'm on the cusp of one of my leagues.
I need you to win this week, bad.
I'm gonna win.
I need a W from this week, not to mention I need one for myself to get in, but I need some help and I need you to help me out.
And we're going to also help some of the viewers out because there is some strategy that comes into play a little bit later on in the season. So first of all, Chris, this one might seem easy, but it's always a tough decision when you have big names on your roster. Alshon Jeffrey, he was suspended.
Yes.
Adrian Peterson, like their team, the Vikings are flirting with us that he might come back week 16. John Brown, someone dealing with his sickle cell issues. Are you totally parting ways with these guys at this point, or does it depend on your situation?
Yeah, it all depends. I think the best advice that we could give, you know, if you're in a head-to-head matchup and you're playing against somebody, and certainly come playoff time, do you want to be safe or do you want to go with upside? And I think you just really have to look at, you know, your matchup and look at who you're facing. Who does the guy you're playing against or the girl have on his team or her team, and how many points are they projected to get? I mean, you have to look at that yourself. If you're going up against Drew Brees at home, then you want yourself some upside. You don't want a quarterback who's safe. You don't want, like, for instance, Eli Manning, who's going to get you anywhere from 17 to 23 points. Maybe you want a Colin Kaepernick, where you feel his floor is 17 to 20 points, and he's going to get you extra fantasy points. So that's what it's all about. I'm one who likes to shoot for the moon, shoot for the sky, the stars. I want that upside, and that's what I'm going to go for. But if I'm going up against somebody who I feel like has a great matchups as well, safe matchups, safe points, then I kind of want to do that as well. So it's all about how you really feel, but it's certainly important for me to go ahead and look at my opponent and does my opponent have tough matchups? Then maybe I can go ahead and shoot for the sky. I mean, I feel like I'm in a good spot.
Some people might get into a little bit of trouble. You already mentioned Colin Kaepernick, and this kind of goes into the conversation that we've been having. Marcus Mariota and the Titans are on bye this week, and he's been great for a lot of people, especially towards the end of the season. The last few weeks, they've really kind of got their stuff together. So, are you dropping him is the first question, because when they come back, they go Broncos, Chiefs, then Jags. And
tough.
If you're dropping him, who are you looking at? You mentioned Kaepernick. Matt Barkley was great. Jared Goff could be sneaky. He's a bit risky for me, but what are you going to do in this situation?
Sometimes you don't want to get too cute. You want to play. A lot of people want to play the guys who got them there. And Marcus Mariota, if he's on your roster. You know, he most likely got you to the playoffs, even with a bye week coming up and moving forward. I don't like his matchups. I'd much rather have a Colin Kaepernick, as I mentioned. Somebody who's just more safe. Somebody who's rushing 62 rush yards per game. I mean, that's just basically starting the game with a touchdown.
Yep.
And that's awesome to have. And you look at his matchups, they're great. Chicago, the Jets, Atlanta, LA. He's got 100 fantasy points over the last 4 weeks. That's QB2. Last week, he was QB1. So he's just making things happen on the ground. He's got more rushing yards per game than Todd Gurley. I mean, that's crazy to think about, but he does. He has more rushing yards than Todd Gurley. So,
that's tough.
You know, he was widely available. We've been talking him up on the network a couple weeks, not just on this show, for a couple weeks now, and his ownership has jumped up considerably. It was 20% before last week's game, and now with the waiver wire period a few days ago, now it's all the way up past 80%. So he's probably not available on your wire, but he's somebody that I would like to play, somebody I like moving forward, more so than Marcus Mariota in the tough matchup, a team that runs heavy. And then another guy, you mentioned Matt Barkley. If you're in a two-quarterback league, certainly maybe you could get behind playing him, but I would have a hard time. I mean, listen, you get to the fantasy football playoffs and you go ahead and you start Matt Barkley and you lose, you're probably going to kick yourself a little bit.
Yeah, but
the matchups are great.
The matchups are fabulous.
San Fran, Detroit, Green Bay, all of those teams allow a lot of points to quarterbacks and a lot of points to wide receivers, and he threw the ball 54 times the other day. His defense is not great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could get behind it in two-quarterback leagues because there's been some injuries and there's some tough matchups moving forward, but certainly not somebody that I trust starting in like a one quarterback league and a 12 team, and especially in a 10 team.
Okay, so we're ditching Marcus Mariota because there are other viable options, but the running back position is something we've been preaching that's been so scarce this year to find good guys on the waiver wire. And if you were a team that employed the zero running back strategy at the beginning of the season, you're probably in a lot of trouble. So if you manage somehow to get DeMarco Murray on your roster, you're not dropping him after the bye week, I would imagine. I mean, Tennessee is second in rush yards. They're second in rush yards, second expecting rush yards per game. Only Dallas runs the ball more with Ezekiel Elliott. DeMarco Murray seems like a no-brainer to hold on to regardless of the matchup.
Yeah, this is a situation, Ashley, where you don't want to get cute. Heading into week 13, this guy leads the league in touches, 274 touches, 20-plus fantasy points seven times this year, 16 and 13 fantasy points in his last two games. Those are two of his worst free outputs, so that is concerning. Derrick Henry getting a little bit more love, getting involved in the offense, but this is a team that wants to make the playoffs and has a chance to win the division, so they're not going to go away from DeMarco Murray, a guy who's got them this far. So don't get too cute with these matchups. Even heading into this week, there's a lot of running backs with tough matchups, but I mean, you have to start them.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You mentioned the scarcity of some of these running backs. Maybe you have a Jeremy Hill. Maybe somebody dropped him and you were able to get him. It's not somebody I would want to start over DeMarco Murray, but it's just an example of a situation where there's some backs out there that you could play, but DeMarco Murray is one of the most consistent running backs this season. He's somebody that I would definitely play despite the matchups I'm playing him.
And I definitely lied. Tennessee's third in rush yards and rush yards per game. My bad.
It's a little white lie.
It's top five, okay? Let's go with top five. So DeMarco Murray's in. Marcus Mariota is out. And for what it's worth, DeMarco Murray hasn't played Denver since 2013. 12 carries, 43 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah.
For what it's worth.
Hey, well, if he falls in the end zone, then there you go. I mean, it's more than what you really could hope for.
You mentioned some of those running backs that you kind of have to just plug into your lineup and hope for the best. And some of them might be for you. Mike Gillisley, depending on what your situation is. He's coming back from a hamstring injury. Kenneth Dixon, Rex Burkhead, as you mentioned, Jeremy Hill. Who are the most pivotal handcuffs that you think could be on the waiver wire still that you might want to pick up if you have a roster spot open?
Yeah, you have to. This is tricky. My feeling is you want to pick up guys with upside and really just handcuffs. I mean, D'Angelo Williams is one of the best ones out there. He was probably dropped, not really, you know, suitable over the past couple weeks, hasn't been playing.
Yep.
But D'Angelo Williams, Alfred Morris, some of these guys, you know, Zeke Elliott is running behind a terrific line in Dallas. We talked about, you know, Darren McFadden last year, fourth in rushing because of that line. I mean, Darren McFadden hasn't played at all this season, but last year he was productive behind that line. So I wouldn't grab up anyone that I don't feel comfortable to start. Like some of these, we'll get to Dontrell Inman and Marquise Wilson in a little bit, but do you feel comfortable starting some of these wide receivers like Malcolm Mitchell, who had a big week last week, a couple other guys who had big weeks that, you know, you probably are not feeling great about starting, but if you're in a situation where you don't love your running backs and if Alfred Morris is hanging around your waiver wire, you just go ahead and pick him up. Spend all your fab money, because what are you waiting for? I mean, we're into fantasy football playoff time. There's no point of keeping your money. It doesn't carry over next season. So spend your money and get an Alfred Morris on your team and maybe even an Andre Ellington, just in case one of those big running backs falls down, then you have yourself a borderline RB1, and Alfred Morris would be a top 10 running back for me without Zeke Elliott the rest of the season. He just is. So handcuff the backs. Look at situations in case people get hurt. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to look at it. Don't look at these fringe guys who are touching the field here and there and matchup dependent. Look at these guys who are going to be fine if an injury happens.
And in Dallas, I mean, everything's going so smoothly and just rolling along. Wouldn't that just be...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Ezekiel Elliott's so good. Rookie of the year conversation. Mm-hmm. Pretty much tied up the rookie of the year reward, I would imagine. But Alfred Morris, I like that.
Yeah,
good call. You mentioned some of the wide receivers, and last week in week 12, there was a surplus of receivers that weren't necessarily focal points of offense, but have risen to the occasion. And quickly, I'm going to say some names for you. Marquise Wilson, who you mentioned, Dontrell Inman, who you mentioned, Taylor Gabriel, too, for Atlanta. Which one of these three would be your biggest priority?
Marquise Wilson, for me, you know, we saw him in a big way, 11 targets, 8 grabs, over 100 yards, and a touchdown. This isn't somebody that just came out of the blue. Last year, he had two games over 100 yards. Last year, he had games with a ton of targets, 85 yards, 80 yards, two games from last year. And we'll talk to Mike Leone from Daily Roto, but Drew Dinkmeyer from Daily Roto won $1 million with Marquise Wilson a couple seasons ago in his lineup. He's scored touchdowns before. He's done this, and he's the only guy around in Chicago. And like I said about Matt Barkley, if he's going to throw the ball 50-plus times, I mean, then why not? And the matchup is great moving forward. There's great matchups for Wilson. He's somebody that I think is a wide receiver 3 or borderline flex the rest of the way. I think he's going to get a lot of volume, and that's what we love. And Dontrell Inman too as well. He's a guy who can make things happen in the air. You know, he reeled in all of his targets last week. He's had a couple 100 games this season, including one last week. So he's somebody I can get by playing as well.
He's very dependable. That's always a safe option.
Yeah, he is.
Always a safe option. Mike Leone is always a great option to have on the show. We're going to talk some Sunday DFS after this. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you. And here's the good news. Even though the season for fantasy sports is kind of winding down, playoffs are just around the corner. If you're out of contention there, DFS will always be here for you. Always. So Mike Leone from Daily Roto joins us now, and he's going to talk about some of his DFS plays that he likes for this week. Hello, sir. How's it going?
It's going well. Like you said, DFS. This is, if you're out of your playoff hunt, this is how you spend your time rest of the season.
DFS is like your ex that you know you can always call if you like want a date on Friday. You're just like, listen, no one will take me out to dinner. A new restaurant's opening. Let's go.
Not every ex, but Mike, you're always there for us. Some great projections, dailyroto.com. We love that about what you guys do over there. Let's just start with the running back situation. Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, both are fantastic. Both catch a ton of balls. Yards after the catch, 1-2 on the league. What are you doing? How does your strategy lie? Is it one that you like more than the other? Are you trying to be cute and put them both in? Are you trying to be too cute and avoiding them? How's your strategy lie with those two backs?
I think if you're building cash game lineups on DraftKings, you have to have both in your lineup this week. The floor on these two guys is just extraordinary. Since Bell came back from his suspension week 4, he's seen 70 targets. David Johnson has seen 67 targets. That's nearly 30 more targets than any other running back. That's also the primary ball carrier over that span, and on a full PPR site just builds in such a great floor and ceiling combination over that same span. Both these guys are also top 6 in red zone opportunities among running backs, top 6 in carries. So the floor ceiling combination is just so great, and we haven't seen the consistency out of elite wide receivers that we saw last year that I really think you want to build with both of these guys in your lineup and just go cheap at wide receiver to make it work. If you're in tournaments, you probably want to mix it up a little bit. And if you just build in round one, do prefer David Johnson in that tasty home matchup with a high team total.
You just talked about not being able to have that consistency from the top wide receivers. And there was no better example of that than Mr. Brandon Cooks last week.
Oh my goodness.
He got a lot of people into some trouble, I would imagine, myself being one of them in one of my leagues. But this cannot be a situation where it's, what have you done for me lately? We have people asking, you know, should I bench Brandon Cooks and start Cameron Meredith? No. Yes?
No, absolutely not. And even though I'm the guy giving you advice right now, I will say I had Brandon Cooks in my highest scoring lineup last week. Oh, wow. And I was like, oh, I wish that was Michael Thomas.
That would have been real nice.
But this game has such a high total that I think you got to go back to it. The Saints are so good at home that any combination, if you're making multiple tournament teams, what I would do, what I was kicking myself was I just made one stack with Breeze in tournaments. If you're able to roll 3-4 lineups, make a couple Breeze stacks. Go with, you know, Cooks and Snead on one, Michael Thomas and Mark Ingram on another. Maybe you take a chance on Josh Hill. The upside here is just massive. And on the other side, you get Marvin Jones coming back for Detroit. He's at his lowest salary of the season. I know he's struggled lately, but his yards per target on the year are really high. It's best on the team, actually. He had 11 targets last week, narrowly missed a touchdown. In this shootout game, I really like him as a type of guy that you can get a big profit on, and he's not going to cost you much. Will allow you to get in David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell into your lineups.
That's what I was going to say. If you're getting Bell and Johnson and then flirting with Brandon Cooks, you have Jones as your cheaper option. But anyone else you're looking at that could really help you when you're trying to figure out your salary situation?
I think you could take a shot. Dorial Green-Beckham's just 3K on DraftKings. Regardless of what's going on with Jordan Matthews, I think there's enough volume for Dorial Green-Beckham. He saw 8 targets 2 weeks ago, 10 targets last week. And at the bare minimum, even if you limp into a 4-for-40 game, you're absolutely fine at that price tag. And he's a big body, 6'5", 237, a nice red zone target. And he's fast for his size. PlayerProfiler.com has a height-adjusted speed score. And according to that, at the combine, he was in the 98th percentile. So a red zone threat, really athletic. I know he's been frustrating from a talent perspective and not putting it all together, but at 3K, it's the type of shot that you want to take.
I wish he'd learn how to hold. Maybe Darren Sproles would get his 60 yards back.
Oh, my goodness, I know. You guys are bringing back all my bad memories.
It's just frustrating to deal with the Eagles for sure, but I mean, 32 targets over his last 4 games, definitely a big part of the offense. Let's continue. Maybe before you get maybe your one big quarterback, let's talk about some value quarterbacks. I just want to touch on Carson Wentz. I mean, he really kind of disappointed people if you played him against Green Bay, but he's fairly cheap. Are you looking at him, or are you really spending up at the quarterback position? I know Dalton in that game is also pretty cheap.
Right. So the way DraftKings is priced quarterback this year, you get enough options at like 6K or lower that I don't see the upside in taking someone like Wentz. He's only exceeded 20 DraftKings points one time. He struggled recently with Dorial Green-Beckham. I mean, you get the catches, and on a full PPR site, you don't need the Eagles offense to be super successful on the whole. Whereas Carson Wentz, you need multiple touchdowns out of the quarterback position. I think there are too many options that maybe not at the same price level, but just a little bit higher around that 6K range that I have a tough time justifying even at that low price tag.
You know, with Brandon Cooks putting up that zero, it's, you know, we were talking, you know, all week about whether people would go back to him, or is it like, nah, I don't want to because of the zero. And it might be a perfect time, as you said, you know, really to go back to him. Do you feel the same way about Russell Wilson? A lot of people really liked this guy last week against Tampa, and he really didn't do anything.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. I think you go back to him, great bounce back spot. It was disappointing last week, but the overall trend line for Russell Wilson's upwards. This passing game has been clicking outside of that Tampa Bay game. And more importantly, he's healthy. We've seen 8 rush attempts each of the last 2 games. We saw a lot of rushing yards for Russell Wilson last week. So the way I look at it at this price tag, $6,300, you're paying for his passing statistics, and the rushing stats are all upside. They're not baked into the price yet. So enormous upside for Russell Wilson. Get him back at home against this Carolina defense that, as good as they were last year, it's just middle of the pack this year against the pass, and overall, no Josh Norman. So I am going back to Russell Wilson.
We're going to just jump back to Chicago for a second. Chris and I were talking about Matt Barkley a little bit earlier. 50 passes.
Yeah, but 50 plus.
Their receivers just really let them down. 8 drops, which was a record that had been established like 10 years ago. But I want to talk to you about their ground game. It seems like Jordan Howard is the only person that's reliable, and after that many drops, do you think he even gets a little bit more volume coming up this week?
So the nice thing with Jordan Howard is he gets volume in a lot of different ways, which is what we look at from a running back. He's had 13 targets over the past 2 weeks. As you said, maybe he's more of a dump off option. And in terms of his skill set, he's 4th in yards per carry among running backs with 100 plus carries. So he's been really effective for a team that hasn't been that good. And you get this diversified volume in an elite matchup against San Francisco. They are historically bad against the run, dead last in Football Outsiders rush DVOA. They've allowed the most fantasy points to the position. So, and it's a rare spot for Chicago where they're actually home favorites just a little bit, but normally you're playing from behind. You might actually get a good game script for Jordan Howard for a change, and he could get peppered with volume.
Yeah, San Fran allowing 31 fantasy points to opposing running backs, as you mentioned. That's number one. And what's encouraging, Mike, is that threw the ball 54 times, and Jordan Howard still finished top 10 in touches for running backs last week. So that is certainly great news if you want to play him. We appreciate your time, Mike. Thank you so much. Enjoy the football, and good luck with all your plays.
Thanks for having me. Good luck this weekend.
Bye, Mike.
Right. Take care, man.
Yeah, that is not going to be a good game. I mean, like, Chicago and San Fran, they have 3 wins combined.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm playing Colin Kaepernick.
Fantasy-wise, though, we like it. And you know who else we like? Gabriel Morenci. Things are going to get a little bit angry in the studio in just 1 second, coming back on FST. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As you can see, and as I promised before the break, Gabriel Morenci joins us now, host right here on the Fantasy Sports Network of Game Time Decisions and Morenci Unfiltered. Hello, sir. How are you?
Always a pleasure, Ashley. I'm ready to rock and roll. Week 13. Let's do this thing.
He doesn't even look at her.
Doesn't even address me.
I love
me.
It. Okay, Super Bowl favorites.
I was looking into the camera, saying hello to everyone. Hello, everybody. Hello, Dr. Nick.
Who Super Bowl odds favorites right now, the New England Patriots, but I'm liking the Seattle Seahawks, man. I like this team. I think they're now fully healthy. This is what they do, Gabe. Right around this time, they kind of pick it up and go from here on out, a team to beat. How do you feel about that? Have you put any money down on any team yet?
No, not yet, because I'm an incredibly impatient person that I've actually broken toasters before waiting for Pop-Tarts, all right? Literally and figuratively, and toast. I've gone through multiple toasters in my life. Patience is not a virtue, and I want to see how this thing plays out, but I agree with you, Chris. The Seattle Seahawks are a dangerous football team. They have the pedigree and they have the confidence right now. Obviously, Russell Wilson struggled earlier in the year. The offensive line wasn't getting it done for them, but we see the offense much more efficient over the last couple of weeks with the game at Tampa Bay notwithstanding. But that's the key, guys. That's the key right now. And obviously, everyone, a lot of people in the public are all over the Dallas Cowboys right now. But if we look back at past Super Bowl winners, it's normally a team that comes out of nowhere. Like, truth be told, last year at this time, people weren't talking about the Denver Broncos going to the Super Bowl.
No, they were talking about the Pats.
Yeah, they were talking about how Peyton Manning's old and terrible and how Brock Osweiler's not good enough to win a Super Bowl. Well, fast forward a couple of months, we know what happened. The New York Giants, both times they won those Super Bowls, they came in the back door, man. It's all about the month of December. And I wonder if the Dallas Cowboys have peaked a little bit too early and how they're going to handle adversity if they face adversity. And another thing about the Cowboys is once you get into the playoffs, you know, you're playing against teams with great coaches that know how to game plan better than the average coach on a weekly basis. And you're probably also playing against a pretty good run defense as well. So they won't have the same efficient run game in the playoffs. I'm not saying Dallas is a fraud or anything like that, but at plus 400, to me, there's just not enough value to pull the trigger with a Dallas Cowboy team with no postseason experience.
You talk about weathering the storm and going through some adversity, and the New England Patriots are someone who always seem to kind of get where they need to be, and they weathered some adversity. They were without Tom Brady at the beginning of the season, and they are always good. They're a favorite to win the Super Bowl, and they're playing a Rams team that's been less than ideal this year. So they're a huge favorite, one of the biggest of the weeks. Do you think that it's a cover situation for the Patriots at this point?
Like, how high does that number have to go for you not to take them?
Yeah.
You know, you said the Patriots weathered the storm, and they did weather a storm, but they're like hurricane chasers. They drive themselves into the damn storms all the time. And then they play the victim card. Oh, they don't like us. They don't respect us. They're suspending us. Well, you guys do something all the time. And then they weather the storm, but they have weathered the storm. This is not a game in which Belichick's going to be fired up for. This is a game in which he's just going to want to get through without any major injuries and get a win. With that being stated, generally, if you blindly bet double-digit underdogs in a National Football League over the last 20 years, you're going to make money.
Yeah.
But
especially this year, I find there's a lot of close games in fourth quarters.
There have been. But do you really trust Jared Goff on the road in this spot? I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass on this football game.
So you're saying that Belichick is Helen Hunt? Wasn't that the movie where they chase the storms? Twister, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's just, is that the girl from Mad About You?
Yeah.
You know what? She was voted the most desirable woman to want to be with. I don't know who they asked for that.
Not
you. I got to tell you, when I'm thinking about fantasies, it ain't Helen Hunt.
Or Mel Gibson hears everything she says.
I don't know. The one about the women?
Yeah.
But as far as the Super Bowl is concerned, let's talk about a couple of live teams right now. Because it's easy to just say, look, and we can look at the teams at the top of the board and go over the New England Patriots. Patriots don't make it to the Super Bowl every year. I think they have a clearer path. I don't see anybody. If the playoffs started today, look at the AFC. It's a pile of crap.
It is. Yeah.
It's a pile of crap. We got a Baltimore-Miami game. Are those teams, those guys aren't going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
You imagine if we have to watch Kansas City and Houston again play? We'd rather put Alabama in the AFC wild card. The AFC picture sucks right now. But a dangerous team who aren't in the playoffs right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Steelers
are 12-1. And I do believe if you look at the schedule from here on out for the Pittsburgh Steelers compared to the Baltimore Ravens, and there's no comparison, guys. The Ravens, they get the Dolphins this week. They have to go to New England. They have to go to Pittsburgh. They're on the road a hell of a lot from here on out. And in the AFC, in the NFC, I don't think we can discount an Atlanta Falcon team at 16-1. They can score on anybody, and they've shown this year that they can win on the road.
All right, Gabe, we got 1 minute. We need your suing.
Well, it's not often that I'll actually do this, but we like the New York Giants getting 6 points this week. I just don't understand why an 8-3 football team's playing a 6-5 football team, and we're getting 6 points. That is why we call it our shoo-in of the week. The New York Giants offense, a little bit pedestrian at 21 points per game. It amazes me, actually, these two teams don't score more, but how about this? Eli Manning, 7-2-1 against his spread in his last 10 football games in the month of December. He's 9-3-1 against the spread in his last 13 games against AFC opponents, and since 1980, all right? since 1980, way back when music was good. Teams who are on a six-game win streak, an exact six-game win streak, are 19-11 against the spread. Pittsburgh might win this game, but they're not going to win by six. Give me the New York Giants as my shoe-in of the week.
Man, those are some nice Nikes.
I appreciate that.
These are from like 1980.
Oh, that's
when the music was good.
When the music was good. Gabe, you're always good. Thank you so much for joining us. Something else from 1980, eh, Gabe?
Always a pleasure.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for joining us on FST.